Death Watch.
Welcome to The Nameless Horror, a Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition investigation by Death Watch Productions. Our investigators are in the small eastern Pennsylvania town of Stowell, each for their own reasons, and that is where we will rejoin them. But first, we'll introduce our investigators, starting with Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm playing Oscar Herman, a World War I vet.
Yeah.
And undercover FBI agent, and while we did just destroy a telescope and burn down a manor, seemingly at random to most of the population that we're interacting with, there is one nagging thing that's still bothering old Herman, and that's the professor got away.
I'm Travis, playing Rob Rumblewolf, and like Mr. Herman says, you don't start a job unless you intend to finish it, and I know this job ain't done yet, so I'm ready to get it done.
And I'm John, playing Tony Ray Spates, and the only thing that is bothering me is a serious knife wound that I took
and a guilty
conscience. People.
Well, he just
never guilty.
He just washed it away by maybe burning people alive, so he's not guilty about the woman anymore.
Yeah,
about the people that didn't get out.
That's true.
The conflagration.
I think we carried a lot of people out. Or at least got most of them out. I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was, you know, for sure that you weren't able to get everybody out, but you don't know that they weren't able to get themselves out.
We also don't know that they're completely innocent. Obviously, they were here.
Right.
I don't even know that we started the fire.
We probably didn't. It was probably that chef.
Well,
you saw how crazy he was.
I know we talked about it.
John did a luck roll.
I know. I'm just
okay.
Trying to soothe the guilty conscience.
Okay, I get you. Don't worry. My conscience is
far as you're concerned, guilty. It was just a kitchen fire.
Those happen.
That we could see from from town.
All right. Back to you, Brandon.
So you guys had made it back to the house you were squatting in there, Cannery Street.
Can I take a look at Tony's wound? See if I can patch him up a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to do some first aid.
Yeah, sew him up.
Thank you.
Don't thank me yet. Where is it?
I'm going to be buried in the ditch in the woods behind the abandoned house.
Where the heck is it?
Doesn't pop out at you, does it? Oh, right under the firearms.
Okay, there it is. There you go. Push it and nick an artery.
I'll aid him by offering him my mason jar of petroleum jelly.
You got some blood coming out there, and then he punches it to make it better. You seal the wound that way.
I don't know why, but I picture you just keeping eggs in it. I don't know why. That's keeps them from shaking around.
All right.
Do you want me to push it, John?
So to be effective, first aid must be delivered within 1 hour, in which case it grants one hit point recovery.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It may be attempted once, with subsequent attempts constituting a pushed roll. Two people can work together to administer first aid with a success granted if either one of them rolls a success.
Mm. Oh, well, I got a 50. I mean, I help if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before like we said, go just to the old push.
Punch that artery closed.
Nope.
All right. Here we go, Jono. Can he still help on the push or?
I think any subsequent. I think we only get one more roll, right? If we're doing a push.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking is if you get to aid in the push or.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 1 second. Let me make sure before we kill somebody.
We just turn it into a major wound. It's not already a major wound, is it?
I'm at 4 out of 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the hit points on that one hit have to exceed match or exceed half.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just taking.
I don't think they did
light damage.
No, they didn't. It's not. Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Well, but this, maybe if we just fail leave the push, it we up. Can we can turn it
you,
into.
You just tear it open.
You want to upgrade that wound, Mr. Spates?
Hey, come on. It's a 70 out of 100. The last time I rolled a 70 out of 100, I didn't fumble. I did roll like a 90-something.
And Rob got closer with the 77, so...
Well, I was further from success than...
It just makes sense, the progression of the dice, it will be under 70. I mean, it makes sense, right?
If the pattern
it's not
holds.
Like it's not like it's a mathematical formula or anything to these things. It's all luck.
I think John's trying to cope. He's been having some bad RNG on our last episode.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Oh, man.
All right.
I want to live, so you better push it.
I think you'll live anyway.
Yeah, so you can combine it.
All right.
On the push there.
Here we go.
So we're both rolling again?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But we need
thank
it.
You. Oops.
So if my failure so messes it
consequences
up.
Consequences of failing a pushed roll, some sample consequences for first aid would be make things worse, cause an additional point of damage.
I was liking to think trying to cauterize the wound using some gunpowder, but I'd forget to take the shell out of the shotgun.
Yeah. All right. So we did get an excess, though, right?
Or
success. Yeah, hard success.
All right. So that'll be
a point.
1 point, one hit point.
Yeah. I figure stitch him up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we already failed to treat his other one.
Thought we succeeded.
No, you guys succeeded on that one. Yeah, it took me back up. That's why I was able to take another knifing. Just one day later.
Yeah.
I'm my Shadowrun is bleeding in here. Do they get to do it for each wound, basically?
Yeah, if each wound within an hour of it
right.
happening.
And yeah. You only took the one knife wound this time, or did you get... I thought you got punched in the ear or something. Maybe... No, that was me. sometimes I get mixed up.
He did get punched.
In a fist fight, you know?
But he also got stabbed.
Right.
So
yeah, the knife, and I think was the
well. That's what I was.
But yeah, you could do first aid for the punch.
Yeah, you know, like cut.
Put some ice on him, or something.
Put some ice steak on it. Okay.
Yeah, if you guys want to do that.
All right. See if we can get you another hit point here. Ooh.
Whoop. Double success.
All right.
So there's one more for you, Tony.
Okay. So now
ready for one more knifing.
Now you're at 6 of 11 there. Okay. All right. So you guys made it back to the house you were squatting in, and it's like, you know, 1 a.m. What would you guys like to do? Actually, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, if we want to stay in town here, if we think that it's still safe, then I'd say go to bed. But if we don't feel that it's safe, then I almost wonder if we'd be better set up out at Jensen's place.
Probably, but I'm more worried about that professor. He was on foot, might not have gotten far unless the cops picked him up.
It's true.
Alexander's working for him, or maybe. We don't quite know for sure, I guess.
And do we want to, how far away was that professor's mansion from town, if you were walking?
Well, it was in town.
Just up on a hill or whatever, yeah. Cliff.
It's just out on the outer northern edge of town. But if you were to walk there, it would take a long time.
Just kind of trying to piece together where he might
have
ran.
So do you want to roll around the area and see if we can, if we happen to find him?
Maybe. I'm also wondering about that mine of his. I forget if I know about that. I think I do.
Well, yeah, someone had mentioned that there was some mining happening up there on the cliff beyond the recreation ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the...
one of the people you'd captured.
Yeah, interrogated. Started talking about it.
Is that closer?
Well, I get we
to
probably,
his mansion?
Probably don't know, but it's like in the same general area, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's up on the same elevation as the professor's house. up on that cliffside that overlooks the rest of town.
Maybe we check that out.
What do you say, Robbie?
If you guys are still up for it.
Night's young.
Probably pretty tired.
Yeah, I think if we're going to do something, we better get moving now, because if we sit around here too much longer, we're going to get tired. It's been a hell of a day. Gunfight. And then this thing at the mansion, and I can't even remember what happened before that, but I'm sure it wasn't great. Oh, we had a gunfight?
Yeah.
And then we fought in the house, right?
Yeah, that was the...
was the restaurant.
That was the fight in the house and then the restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still pretty amped up right now, but maybe we can keep that going if we start moving.
Are you feeling up to it, Tony?
Yeah, I got some more, battery's running a little low, but...
How's he looking?
I think I'm up for it.
Yeah, you know, so he's got blood all over his clothes because he's been slashed through.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, he's looking pretty rough.
Maybe put on your Sunday clothes, Mr. Spates.
And what are we going to do about, what's her name? Your girlfriend.
Mrs. Ellis?
Yeah. What are we going to do about the woman and the kid? No offense. Don't mean to talk about you like you're not here.
Yeah, she's not listening. She's huddled over with her daughter. It's been pretty traumatic for the little girl.
Well, let me go talk to her, see what she...
Because if this place ain't safe, she's just going to probably get picked up again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see what she wants to do, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Because I don't know where else.
Didn't she get picked up because they were just waiting
at the train station? Yeah, they decided to go to the train station, yeah.
Yeah, but we still don't know where all eyes are and whatnot. I'm going to guess that they probably
omniscient. Great eye sees all.
Yeah. So while Robbie goes and talks to her, I'll start reloading magazines.
Yeah, so I'll go over to where they are and hunker down. Say like, hey, Mrs. Ellis, you know, it looks like we're gonna go after this professor. What did you and Rosemary want to do?
Well, surely some people from the mansion are going to recognize and describe you to the police.
Yeah.
So the police will be after you.
I think they've been after us for a little bit now.
I mean, I would testify that they had abducted me, but with the whole place burning down like that and you being outsiders, it's not looking good for you guys.
Yeah, that's true. But if we just, you know, leave now, I don't think we'll be leaving anything good behind us, you know? Maybe we won't outrun it if we don't do something about it.
Well, what do you plan to do? I mean, what can you do?
Well, I don't really know. It's just, you know, a little outside of my wheelhouse, Mrs. Ellis, I'll admit it, but just been kind of winging it.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do because we tried to leave, and that's when they grabbed us, was at the train station.
Well, ordinarily, I'd say it'd be safer to stay at here, but, you know, I think they know more than we can imagine. So maybe you just come with me.
To find the professor? And what are you going to do with him?
I mean, get to the bottom of it, you know?
I don't think that's very safe to take.
No, I don't think so either.
Well, then I guess this place is as safe as any for now.
Okay.
We could wait here.
Yeah, that's what.
For a couple of days at least.
That might be for the best. You just remember that shotgun.
Hmm.
So I'll stand up and I'll return to the guys and just say, well, I don't really think there's any safe place. I thought it might be safer for her to be with us, but she don't see it that way, so she's going to stay here. And I can't really see a solution to that problem, you know, Mr. Herman. Not unless we take a big detour and drive him out ourselves, but I don't know if we're working on that kind of time scale.
Yeah, we could probably get her a car if she wants to get out of town. Be a bit of a detour, though, unless we steal one right from town itself.
You know, I was telling her what our next move was, and you can kind of see she doesn't have that kind of thinking, so I think sending her off in a stolen car might be against her, you know, just the way she thinks about things. She's not like you and me.
Maybe we need to convince her that now's the time to go to chaotic good instead of lawful.
Right. Alignment shift, lady.
Oh, no, that's understandable. We can leave a weapon with her if she wants one, just in case.
Yeah, well, I don't fully like it, but I don't see what else we can do.
We still got to Still got that damn sheriff and that other guy, the Jensen boy, tied up at their place. Got to worry about them.
But they have been fed and watered.
Recently?
Within the last 4 hours, I think.
Okay. All right. Let's go see if we can find this professor. Maybe drive around town, see if anyone's looking like him. If not, head up to the gold mine. Or not the gold mine, but the mine. See if we can find him there. I'd prefer not to go back to the crime scene hours after we'd created it, but...
That's like...
Kind of pressed for time.
It's like playing hopscotch, Mr. Herman. There's a lot of crime scenes we've been at in this town. We're going to have to weave a pretty pattern here.
Well, part of me's fearing that if that professor keeps being on the loose, that this whole dang town's going to become a crime scene. All right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll kind of, with a... a grunt, get to my feet, give a stretch.
Okay.
And then head on out with a farewell nod to, was it Mrs. Ellis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll give a shout. Anyone pulls up without giving that shout, you just start gunning or hide. I'll leave it up to your discretion. I don't know. You got anything you'd want to shout when we pull up, Robbie?
Pineapple.
Pineapple. There you go. Always thinking on his toes, this one.
I always like pineapple.
We'll try to be back shortly, but if we're not back, probably by about midday, figure we've either been arrested or killed, and you probably should get out of here on your own.
Okay, so she runs up and embraces you, Rob, and says, please be careful. And then she says, did I hear someone say something about the mine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a hidden ladder that leads up there from the recreation ground. It's pretty much directly across from my house, up against the cliff wall. If you dig through the brush, you'll find it.
How far on foot once we go up that ladder is it?
It's right there.
Oh.
Hmm.
Thank you. Maybe we ought to make that our first stop. But Mrs. Ellis made a good point because, people are going to be looking for us. So.
Yeah, that changes everything if we can just get right to it. Anyway, thank you, Miss Ellis. Try to get some sleep, but, keep one ear open.
We will. Thank you.
All right. So, on my way to car, I'll unload a couple rounds into the air.
Okay.
Not joking.
Yeah.
That's the signal we're leaving. I knew you were leaving on account of you said you were leaving. You didn't have to signal.
You didn't know until I'd signaled it.
No, you don't understand. If my ears have a whistling from the war, and so the ring encounters it.
Okay.
So was it pretty far from this squatting house we've been in?
Well, it's not that big a town, so nothing's really very far.
Yeah.
It'd probably be, unless you put your foot on it, on a normal drive, it'd probably take you about 20 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, 2 a.m., 1920?
Yeah.
Small town. We're suspicious by just being out.
Right,
so
yeah.
Might as well put some metal to it.
Dailing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite that fast. These cars don't hold up to drifting.
Slow down, Robbie.
You're all adrenalized. Right.
Okay, so you guys get into the car and you set out and you're headed back towards the boarding house and Marion's house there. And it's early at night, so you can still see the bloom of the flames from the manor, and you can still see, there's a lot going on over there. But the part of town you're driving through, there's nothing. It's just, everybody's in bed, all the lights are off, so you don't come across any people. So it takes you no time at all to get back to Marion's house there. And then when you're there, stepping out and looking over towards that recreation ground and up on the cliff, before you could hear some noise coming from there. You could see work lights and stuff. Right now it's cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't got very much moonlight. So you're not seeing the lights up there like you were before, but right. You can definitely still hear noise from time to time, people shouting and vehicles moving, things like that.
All right.
Mr. Herman, you got any lights you want me to grab?
I was about to say, do I have any? Do you want a luck roll or?
Well, you'd have a couple electric torches in the trunk there.
Yeah. In the trunk next to all the guns.
Guns and torches and dynamite. I'll grab them.
One of you might as well grab the rifle while you're back there.
You gonna take it, Mr. Spates?
Yeah, I can.
Aren't you a better shot than I am, I think? Can't remember.
I think I just said that I was better with a rifle or a long arm, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm about 40% sure that I could hit what I'm aiming at.
All right.
Yeah, that's me too. So you can go ahead and take it. I'll just carry these lights until one of you.
Unless we're talking about these guns, and I'll hold my fist up.
Now you have brawl supremacy.
You just roll on your back.
Right. Show them my throat and belly. Yeah, I won't.
No, Robbie, no, don't. It's not like that.
Yeah, I'll pass one of them off if anybody wants to carry one right now. But if, as long as we don't need them, then I won't fire them up until absolutely necessary.
The lights?
For the electric torches.
Yeah, so, you know, if you look at the recreation ground, it's a big grassy field, and there's some playground equipment over in the center of it. And there's enough moon and starlight through the clouds that you can see well enough to make your way across it. When you get to the cliff face, which goes up, you know, 100 feet.
Yeah.
And then the whole face of it, at least down at your level, is covered by brush and shrubs and trees and thorns and vines. There you'll need the lights in order to be able to find this ladder she's talking about.
Oh, okay.
So let's have people do some spot hiddens.
Regular success.
There it is.
No. I don't spot nothing.
All right, so what do we got?
Eagle eye.
Regular.
That was my sneaking animation.
Okay. So, Oscar, you find the ladder. And it's not... I mean, this is actual steel driven into the cliff face. You know, as it rises up the cliff face... It's pretty smooth in one respect, but it's wavy enough that it was, you couldn't see it from the ground. Now that you're there at the bottom looking up, you can, so it goes all the way up and it's like just steel driven into the cliff face itself. And, you know, it took a lot of moving brush aside and there's, you know, a lot of stickers and thorns. It's not very comfortable, but, and it's rusty, like it hasn't been used. But it feels solid enough to you.
All right.
Rob, you don't find that. Like, you were in an area a little bit further down looking. But while you're looking, you find something of interest. And as you're looking at it, shining your flashlight, you see there's a human body stuffed into the underbrush there.
Anybody I recognize?
No, because like their head's missing. Huh. And then where their head meets their torso, it's been carved out in like a half moon shape.
Like a bite?
No, it's very smooth.
Oh, okay.
Like a gin?
Yeah. Well, no, not like that, but you know,
I don't know, but he doesn't have a head.
but the cut that took this section out went through meat and bone and just a really smooth line there.
Are they closed?
No.
Okay.
It was a male.
Right. Well, this probably brings back to mind the death of that stray dog where his the legs were just cut off smoothly. Well, I guess since this sort of thing doesn't faze me, you find this on any train car in any given line across the country. But yeah, I mean, if he calls out that he found the ladder, you know, I'll mention it before we go up. I found a body back there. Doesn't look like it was killed. Oh, what can I tell in any way how recent it is? It like rotting?
It doesn't smell rotted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cold and stiff, but it doesn't smell like any rot's taking place. I mean, it is February, so the temperatures here have never gone above, you know, they're not going to go above. I mean, the whole time you've been here, there's not been above 35 degrees. Yeah. So
wintertime. Well, I'll mention it to these guys when if Mr. Herman calls out the ladder. I'll say there's a body over there.
I know you're ravenous now, but we got no time for
smells
dinner.
Smells fresh. You could eat it still, guys.
You know, you keep a body out in the cold like this, you can eat off it a long time.
There was that one fella who...
It's that hobo tricks.
Maybe you might want to have a look at it before we go up, Mr. Herman, Mr. Spates. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go take a quick gander at it.
Okay, so...
I will as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're all standing there looking at this, and it's dark even with your lights. It's hard to pick out more detail than he found, but...
So no identifying marks?
No, not that you can find.
Well, that is something, though. That's a really clean cut.
Well, what do you think?
So who has... Let's see. Does anybody have medicine or anatomy?
No, I just have the base 1% chance.
Yeah, medicine... But it's only 15.
That's higher than base.
Well, you can try it.
Oh, he did it.
Nice.
Success. Nice.
That's a well-earned check mark.
I don't know.
That's cool.
Say goodbye to your helmet for another week or two, though.
Yep. They'll reset the cycle before I get it now.
So you don't like, as for why, you couldn't even begin to guess, but you do know that like the way they made this cut, they would have, I mean, assuming the damage, too much damage wasn't done. Well, I guess you wouldn't even know that. Like just based on the cut, they would have got the whole head, the whole neck, esophagus and all that would have remained intact. And they would have, assuming they didn't do any damage to it some other way, they would have, you know, parts of the top of the spine. Now, what that they would need that for or do with that is a different question. But
well, put the head in a jar and use it to ferment alcohol.
It's true.
Yeah, and there's a lot of crazy medical experiments happening at this time.
Around this town, yeah.
So
and anyway, from
they're probably putting it on, you know, fence posts for all we know.
Well, from your medical knowledge in this investigation that you just did, you're guessing that it was 2 days ago that this took place.
Pretty recent, though.
Another thing that you had noticed, Rob, when you found it, is that there isn't any blood on the ground.
Yeah.
So
that was similar with the.
Is there blood in like in the wound?
No, still? I mean not now. But there's none on the ground either, so the bleeding was done. The bleeding took place somewhere else. Is basically right. what it looks like.
Oh, ain't nothing we can do about this. I want to get up that cliff before it gets too much later.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, let's all pray that a group luck roll isn't necessary.
Well, let's go up, and then we'll send.
He's not part of our group. Let's roll out, and then I'll immediately fire off two shots.
Mm. Time to go up the ladder.
Group luck this.
What?
Okay.
What is the distance that a group luck roll would count?
I think it can transcend dimensions if the keeper wishes it.
Yeah, I have ultimate power.
Unlimited.
Yogg-Sothoth himself.
Are you calling him a blind idiot?
No, that's Azathoth. Oh. I wouldn't call Brandon.
Yeah, you wouldn't dare to.
Maybe he was one of those dancing flutists.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got this ladder here. Who's going to go first? What's the order here?
Fearless leader.
Obviously, yeah, the luckiest of the bunch. Oh, I will go first.
Really? I was volunteering. Like I said.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm also.
I'll go second.
Yeah, I'm also the least wounded and the best shot. So mm-hmm. Up I go.
There's probably a guy up there with a knife. So are you sure that you don't need it to be me? I seem to collect those things. In
don't worry. I'll throw them down to you.
The abdomen. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Herman, now that we're on this ladder, I probably should have had you take a look at the punch to the head I took. You know, I'm a little dizzy now that I think about it.
How long does first aid take?
Well, it'd be too late now.
Don't worry about it.
I'll fire two shots downward now that I'm climbing up.
Yeah.
Don't want the bullets to encounter me.
Okay, and then who goes second?
I'll head up after.
All right.
I'm so in the Rob danger zone.
Yeah. Okay.
Did he just agree with the danger zone? You're, oh man. Good knowing you, Robbie.
Maybe I can do a feat of strength.
Pick up the mountain.
It's going to be that headless corpse coming up after you.
Don't say that.
I got a good image from it, though.
Robbie will eat it, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was getting kind of hungry.
One thing you don't know about
here.
Me is I'm the Wendigo. That's what they call me.
I don't know why, but when I see you and smell your fresh blood, I'll get really hungry. Is that a problem? Om nom 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 nom.
It's the Indian curse.
Okay, so you make it up there, and when you get up there, you can hear all the noise from what's going on. It seems like not very far away. Up here, the landscape is all, you know, boulder strewn, so you can't see anything at the moment when you get up to the top of that ladder. But it also, it doesn't look like the area that you're in is heavily traveled.
All right. Just in case, I'll draw my gun and kind of take some sort of defensive position to cover their climb.
Okay. Yeah, so the rest of you make it up there.
2x2 cover.
You know, it's all boulder strewn, but as you get up and you start moving around, especially towards all the sound, it's a lot of the clink of hammers and picks and whatnot, and somebody shouting. But you can approach there, and then let's do stealth.
Oh.
Just make sure there's no fumbles.
Ooh, I did it.
No.
Okay.
That's not a fumble, though.
It's not.
That's when Brandon reveals that he was, in fact, lying just to, what is it, lure us into a false sense of security.
All right. So, yeah, you get up, you get closer to the sound, you peek around a boulder, and then you can see the entrance to the mine, which in real life is, I mean, there's nothing fantastic about them at all. It's just a hole that goes in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, they've got lights strung up, so you can see the entrance. You can see where they've got the support, the beams for support. And you can also see that there's a gate here that blocked this off that looks pretty old, but that they broke it open recently. Because you got like the shiny part where it was broken and the rest of it's rusty and whatnot. There's even a sign nearby that says, you know, stole gold mine. And it's got a little blurb of, you know, it was open from 17 whatever to 17 whatever. And it's been closed since then. But now these guys have, whoever's in here has opened it back up.
Seems like it's past quitting time to me.
Yeah. Wonder exactly what they're digging for down there that requires it to go all hours into the night. Any sign of the professor?
No.
Any, what'd the word be, like a foreman building or a dormitory, barracks, whatever?
There's just, all you see out here is like one large pavilion-style tent. That's all you see out here. And it is, like, you're not seeing any light coming from it. All the sound and stuff is coming from inside the mine.
Wonder if we can just find a pickaxe and walk on in.
We can try it. Do you want to have a look at the tent first before we go?
Yeah, might as well. Got to be thorough. So is there a fairly safe way to get to that tent without being seen, or are we going to have to?
Yeah, you could go around the back of it.
Okay.
And you'd be out of sight of the entrance. So the light that they've got set up in the entrance, that, you know, that emanates out about 10 feet. Beyond that, it's dark.
Okay.
So.
All right, follow me.
So it'd be pretty easy to sneak around the back of it there.
I forget. I think I have a pocket knife.
Yeah, you had it the last session, I think.
Yeah, just cut into the back.
Okay. So yeah, this is a large tent, and it's got, like, there's crates and sacks and then a cot and a desk. Nobody's in here at the moment.
There's a desk. Let's take a quick look at the desk.
Okay.
Fire up that flashlight and...
Yeah, I'll look into any open crates if they are while he's doing that.
Okay. So, Oscar, you look at the desk, and you can see there's a journal on it. And so looking through that, you can see it's the journal property of Claude Massey is what it says on the front. And in the journal, you know, thumbing through it, you can see that he's describing how he, basically the whole story is that the great mind, it took his skill and knowledge in geology and as a prospector just to the next level. And he realized that they closed this gold mine down here, you know, a long time ago, because they thought that they'd mined it all out. But he describes that they didn't see evidence of any more gold, but that he, thanks to the great mind, realized that, you know, the stone in some parts of it, there was some feature to its color, or he says maybe even its smell, that he instantly knew meant there was a seam deeper in behind it. And that, you know, nobody else would have known that, because the great mind had given him this, the increased his knowledge. And so in his journal, he describes how he found it by himself, because he's always been a geologist and a prospector, and the great mind just increased his capabilities here. So he just wandered in, you know, just to check the place out. And that's when he discovered that there's actually a lot of gold in here. And then so further on, he goes into description about how, you know, the other people that had the chance to see the eye in the sky, but their minds weren't qualified. And so they were, you know, they were made less than. And he thought, what better thing to have them do than to make the world better by mining for gold? And so that's what he's been doing. He's got a group of the, you know, he calls them the broken, is what he's calling them, the broken. So in his journal, he's describing that he's got a group of the broken who he is magnanimously giving purpose by having them mine gold for him. And Rob, when you look in like the crates and stuff, you're just seeing like basically living supplies. I mean, there's like food and soap and, you know, clothes and things like that. There's ample evidence to suggest that this guy, this Claude Massey, has just been living in this tent. But the work seems, just based on what you guys have seen, the work seems to take place at night for whatever reason.
This guy in this journal here basically just kind of talks about how the great mind opened him up and proved his skill, but doesn't speak about anything being too weird. Seems to be just a gold mine that they're using those poor people that get ruined by the by that telescope.
Now, Tony, did you go into the tent, or are you keeping watch?
I'm keeping watch out.
So Rob and Oscar in the tent. Let's have you both do a spot hidden.
Nope. Nice extreme success, Mr. Herman.
Okay, so Oscar, that's actually, that helps you see two different things. The first is that, and both Oscar and Rob, give me a luck roll as well.
Looks not in.
Yeah.
All right, so Oscar, you're thumbing through this journal, reading this stuff, and you also happen to find that he's got a sheet in there that's loose, but it seems to be a tally of, it seems to be a financial conversion, like how much gold he's found and what it's worth right now on the market. And according to his calculations, based on what he's found, he's got $33 million of gold that he's found. But you're smart enough to realize that he's not exactly saying he's found, that he's obtained that much. He might be talking about what the value is of what he's found that still needs to be mined. So it's hard. You can't tell for sure what exactly he's saying there. Like, I have now gathered this much, or there's this much here to gather, if that makes sense. Mm. And then the second thing that you notice while you're thumbing through this is you just happen to glance, and you can see that there's like a thick tarp makes up the floor of this thing, and it's bunched up underneath the leg, one side of the desk.
Like it's been moved?
Yeah.
Hey, Robbie, help me move this desk here. I think he's been messing with it.
Okay, sure thing, Bob.
Just being thorough.
So I'll get one side of it, and heave ho.
Okay, so you know, for two grown men, it's easy enough to move it out of the way, but you can see that that there is a cut in the canvas that you could lift up and out of the way. Under there is a like a hole dug into the ground, and he's got a little like lockbox in there.
How heavy is it?
So let me, what's your...
Was it my strength?
Mm-hmm.
60-something, I think. 65.
Okay. All right. So it is... You'd need help getting it out of there.
Yeah, if I see him going for it, I'll...
Yeah.
I'll help him get it out if you want.
Yeah, you'd both need to grab hold of it to pull it out of there.
Yeah. Is there an actual lock on it, or do we know if it's...
Yeah, it does have a lock.
I don't quite want to bother with it, maybe. Thanks for the help, Ravi, but maybe we just leave it for now. Don't want to try dragging this around with us till we find a way to break the lock. Unless you got skills I don't know about.
No. No, I wouldn't know what to do there.
Yeah, if we think it's important, we can always just come back and get it. Help me put the desk back over it.
All right, now, Tony, you're out there keeping watch, and you're still hearing those sounds coming from in the mine, but, you know, nobody seems to be approaching. But then you hear this sound, a different sound coming off from the west. Now, to the west, you can still see the glow of the manor burning. It's not that far away, maybe about a mile from where you are. But you start hearing a sound coming from that direction, and it's out of place, so you don't understand what it is. But it's so steady and rhythmic that it seems unnatural. But then finally, a person comes into view out of the darkness, and they're running at full speed. They've just got this odd way about it, where their gait and their movement, it's like machine-like almost. And so their head's perfectly upright, and you know they're looking straight ahead as they run, but they're angled right towards the entrance to that mine there. Now, they don't see you or anything, but you see them come running out of the darkness.
So they're coming from deeper in the mine, and
no.
They're running.
No, they're not in the mine. They're coming. They're outside just like you are, but they're coming from the west.
Oh, okay. And they're
coming from the west, like the direction of the manor.
Okay. Well, I'll call back into the tent if I've got enough time. Into where Oscar and Rob are, at least, that we got someone coming. They're running like the devil's after him.
Mm-hmm. If we go to the front of the tent, would we be able to see him? Would that be about the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll walk over that way.
Because the opening of this, the opening of this tent is like pointed directly at the entrance to the mine.
All right.
So yeah, from there you see the same thing. You see this guy come into view.
Are they
going
to be like running to us or past us?
They're going to, like, as you watch, they run straight into the mine.
Do I get a look at them?
Yeah.
Is it the professor?
It's not. No, this is a young man, like probably a teenage, like late teenager.
Okay.
But you don't recognize him. But yeah, it isn't the professor.
Well.
But you notice that too. He's just got this really odd way of running. It's like, it seems to you like if someone were to design the perfect like posture and movement, this is how it would be. It looks unnatural, but he's cruising very quick, very fast.
What's his, are there any miners that we're seeing coming in and out, or are they all inside?
They're all inside right now. You haven't seen any.
I think we might have to try the mine, Ruby.
Yeah, well, something's going on here.
All right, call on back to Tony. I'll start heading on.
Okay.
So as that runner reaches the entrance to the mine, they start calling out, "Mr. Massey," and they continue running, and you can hear them calling, "Mr. Massey," and the voice gets more faint, and it echoes a bit, and as they go further into the mine, then you can't hear them anymore. But
kind of want to hear what that conversation's going to be. Yeah, if there's no one out and about out here, immediately I'll give a nice jog after that after that boy, and hope that Robbie and Tony catch up with me before I go completely insane. If there's anything in there, labor will probably do it.
Okay. And then Rob and Tony, what do you guys want to do? You can see
head after him.
Yeah. Okay. You too, Rob?
Yeah, I guess I'll fall in the rear. I know I'm not the most quiet. So.
Okay. So as you enter the mine, you travel down a relatively straight shaft for quite a ways, probably about 200 feet. And all the while you hear the sound of hammers and picks, rocks being dumped into carts or whatever. You know, you hear all those different sounds, all of it echoing off of the walls. And there's some shouts here and there. But when you finally see people, you come to sort of a section where it branches in multiple directions. And so that area has been carved out quite a bit. And it's rather large. And that seems to be where Claude is, or Claude Massey. That seems to be where he gives his directions. You know, as you come to that area, you can see that most of the work seems to be taking place down a single branch, the far left branch of this section here. And then there's this, he looks older and he's got white hair, and he actually does look like a professor, just not the one that you were looking for. And he's got a pipe and he's listening to this young man who just approached. From time to time, he'll stop the young man and he'll give a shout to somebody that's at the mouth of this particular mine shaft. And then that person will shout it further along. And so you're close enough now that you can hear what the young man's saying to Claude Massey.
All right.
And so basically he's saying that somebody burned down the Hart's Manor and the telescope has been destroyed.
All right. Any reply from, was it Massey?
Yeah. So you're watching, like you're kind of peeking around and you're watching as this news is delivered, and he's got this pipe and he's listening, and then his like eyes just, they widen further than you think they ought to be able to. And he drops the pipe, and then just a look of utter panic comes over his face, and he starts darting directly towards your direction, running full speed.
We might be able to get him when he kind of gets out of eye shot. Yeah. You think that's a good plan, or a workable plan, Brandon? Maybe nab him on it as he's on his way out? Or is there going to be like a line of sight to him?
No, you'd be able to do it.
All right.
I mean, you'd be able to try it.
Yeah. All right. Quick, get back. We're going to try to grab him when he gets near the entrance.
Yeah. I'll push back enough to where I can hunker down, and I'll get my fists ready.
One fist iron.
Make sure I got one loaded in the chamber.
The other is steel.
Okay, so you guys are waiting out there?
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, you don't have to wait long. I mean, you barely make it out there and get in position before he comes bursting out of that entrance there. You can hear that young man's following him as well. And he's shouting. He's like, what does that mean? What's the, you know, but the Claude isn't answering, and he comes barreling out of that entrance there. And he's a man of slight build and advanced age. You guess he's probably in his late 50s.
All right. I'll take the first one, so that way you guys get bonus die.
Okay, so what would you like to do?
I'm going to fighting maneuver, try to like grab him, maybe even like round the head.
Okay.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Try to keep him from yelling out.
All right.
That's a no-go, but it does put me in melee with him, right?
Yeah, so you're trying to, he's gonna
try, what is it, to, 5? I'll spend 5 to make it a success.
Okay, and then he'll try to dodge, but he failed. So yeah, you succeed in grabbing a hold of him. Like, he runs by, and then you just lock him in this, you know, hold, and he gives like a surprised shout, and he's struggling against you, but right now not to much effect. Yeah. So Tony and Rob, what would you like to do?
Well, if I see he's got the older fella in hand, I'll grab the young guy that was running at his heels and do about the same to him. Like, pin him up and try to keep him from making too much noise.
All right.
And I'll, there's only 2 of them, right?
So far.
So far.
All right. Yeah, I'll wait to see how Rob's plays out.
God, I fumbled it. Jeez.
Push?
No, I can't. You're stuck with a fumble once you get one.
Uh-oh. Yeah, like, can't you make it not a fumble?
No, you can't buy off fumbles with luck, or I don't. Maybe I can push a fumble. I can't remember.
No, I think you're right. I think you're stuck with it.
It's just that 1% chance.
So, what are the chances that this guy explodes on contact? Or he's a vortex to another dimension. This whole region gets sucked in.
All right, so player,
I thought it was a critical there for when I just saw the dice before the thing, and I was like, oh no.
One of the few times you don't want to see the triple zeros.
I choked my own self out.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you
can. Oh, your concussed head.
Yeah.
Maybe you stumbled pretty good.
Well, yeah, that's like the most likely thing I see is you just got, you know, a path. We're kind of off the path. You got loose rock and stuff, and I go to make a move, and I, you know, just don't have the footing.
Yeah, okay, so fumbles should take effect immediately. It may not be negated through pushing the roll. And a fumble means something really bad occurs, something worse than a straight failure.
Repressed childhood memories resurface. That wasn't Santa.
Okay. So what happens then is, Rob, you are waiting for this young man. He comes running out in his perfect machine-like way, and he's taken off guard, but he's moving faster than you expected him to be. So rather than grab hold of him, you essentially just slam into him. And he's smaller and much more slight of build. So, Oscar, give me a luck roll.
Oh, okay. Not Tony. Still. Ooh, close.
So you slam into this young man, and he goes careening into Oscar and Claude Massey, and with, like, exceptional force. Oscar, you manage to keep this from breaking your hold free of Claude Massey.
That should be a success. My current 63.
Oh, it said success, so.
Yeah, versus like 68, right?
Well, your character sheet current says 68.
It says 63 on mine.
What the hell?
Maybe it didn't update, but it's 63 on mine.
Weird. Well, now it's saying 63.
Now it's showing 63. I hit enter. Maybe I didn't update it.
Okay.
But.
All right.
Sorry. You're,
so then never mind. It does break him free of your hold. And it knocks him immediately down onto the ground. And you can hear a crunch as his head bashes into some rocks.
Oh, man.
Now, the young man, he then trips over Claude Massey. And he goes sailing into the darkness, too. And you can hear the loud impact of him striking some surface back in the darkness. And then, Tony, that brings us to you.
Well, are there any others coming?
not right now.
This all makes perfect sense to Tony. This is how you handle people. I mean, just kill them.
Situation handled, I guess. I mean, We stopped him. I don't know that that was the full plan.
No, you do.
But
know.
In the end.
Why is he more like my character than my character?
Okay, so Oscar, this Claude Massey.
I'm gonna help Rob up from where he stumbled. Tell him you gotta be more careful, buddy.
Did I stumble? I thought I just went too hard on
you
him.
Yeah, you knocked him down. You're fine.
Well, I imagine he's like looking on. He's like on his kind of on his belly or hands and knees now, just looking in horror into the pit. No. Because he's not like the killing type.
Is it like a pit, or is it just a place that wasn't in the light?
Yeah, it's not a pit. It's just it's outside of the light.
Yeah. So going after the boy would be a good one as well.
Yeah, because you can't see him anymore, but you know where he fell.
I thought we heard some nasty impact in there.
You did, so. But you didn't. You don't know if that means he's dead or not. I mean.
Oh, all right. Yeah, and as I'll click on the old torch, as long as it's not gonna be too suspicious, or seen from where those other guys are working. I guess
Great Eye's gonna see us, or the Great Mind, probably. Whatever it is.
But I'm not going down there in the dark. So I'll flip it on and just at the ground so I can see my movement and start after him.
Okay.
All right. Let's see how bad this is here, Robbie. I'll bend down and check the guy.
Okay. Yeah, so you saw that he you know, he landed right on his head on some rocks. And then, yeah, so as you approach Oscar to check on him, you can see just by the way that his leg is twitching wildly that he's done for.
Yeah.
So when you kind of roll him over, you can see that, like, the whole side of his head is caved in. And so his brains are leaking out.
Well, there goes any questions we might have had for him. Maybe we can get some answers out of the boy if Tony's able to find him alive, not punch him to death. Not that I know that happened.
All right. And Tony, you just, you know, you take a few steps with your flashlight there on the ground and you step over some boulders and then you can see the kid down. And there's this little draw. You can see him down there looking straight up at you. And, you know, your flashlight's reflected off of his eyes. And he's, so he's probably about 8 feet down, like lower than you. And he's looking straight up at you.
So is this like a straight down drop or is it like just a slanted?
Yeah, it's just a slant.
Like easy, great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll start making my way down and I'll just tell him, you know, just stay still. I'm going to get you out of there. You're safe.
All right. So he doesn't respond. And then when you get closer, you realize that like his body is facing the other direction. So his, you know, his head's been turned all the way around.
I've only ever accidentally killed people. Yeah, so. We're not murderers, I swear.
It's all an accident.
Except I'm for me. Search him real quick.
I guess I've shot some people.
And see if I could find anything, any information on him. Anything that we can use to...
Okay. Yeah, now you search through his pockets and you find a couple dollars and a piece of string, a whistle, a bouncy ball, but nothing of any interest besides that.
Huh. Okay. I'll make my way back up and say that the boy didn't make it either. Or I guess I don't know that he's dead up there, so
yeah.
Go up there and say the boy didn't make it.
Yeah. Yep, seems to be the way our luck's going tonight. Well, that old man didn't make it either.
Have you already searched him?
Nah, you can do that if you want. Try not to make too much of a mess. Right now, it looks like they both just walked out here and tripped.
Yeah, I'll try to go through his, see if he's got any information on his person.
Okay. Yeah, so you check his pockets. You find a ring with three different keys on it. You find a wallet that's got, like, an identification and a picture of a, you know, an attractive middle-aged woman, and you find, you know, $30 in his pocket, and that's it. That's all you find on him. Oh, and a 38 revolver in his waistband. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll take that and the keys.
He was armed.
Okay.
Justified.
All right.
So now, you know... Now you're standing there and you still hear the sounds of work happening down in the mine, but nobody's approaching.
From what his journal said, most of the people down there working are ruined.
Yeah. And so, you know, another thing that he wrote in his journal was that he was popular with the other blessed is what he, and he always capitalized it, but because he was able to use the broken that couldn't be used to do anything else. Like, you know, a lot of the blessed had broken slaves that they would have carry out whatever, but he was able to use the ones that were far too broken to be used for anything else. And so that kind of made him popular amongst the other blessed. So
I don't really know if he had another, like he didn't speak about another person in charge other than himself. But there are other blessed, I guess. He spoke about them. No list of those, unfortunately.
Yeah. I suppose I've just been silent and shocked and sort of biting off curses every now and then, but not exactly repentant. You know, I mean, these things happen. Sometimes you kill two guys on accident, but...
I guess there was the reverend.
Yeah, and the fellow climbed up the telephone pole we saw the other day.
The twins? I don't really want to ask them any questions, at least not yet.
Well,
the congregation.
You had also been told about the woman who made the radios.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
But I think she was just referred to, not like, did they give a name? I don't recall that part.
I might not have remembered to tell you, but they did. And she also runs a beauty parlor in town. Lori.
Right.
Lori something. She runs Luscious Lori's Beauty Parlor, which is not very far at all from the church in the middle of town there.
Best I can tell from that journal, it's just gold down there that they're digging up. I mean, they seem to believe that there's an awful lot down there, several tens of million. So,
yeah.
I mean, it could be something that worth destroying just to keep them from getting it, but I don't really have the means on us right now unless they got it all down there. They might, but I also don't really know. You guys feel like dynamiting a bunch of ruined people along with the mine shaft, so... Got that beautician, got the telephone guy, and we got that damn cop that's hiding on us. Man's damn near a ghost now.
He's gotta be, gotta be here somewhere in this town.
I think we might just have to take Mrs. Ellis's advice. Maybe just drop it.
Yeah, I mean, we've taken away their ability for now, at least to turn others.
I don't know if
they... other than him.
Several million dollars worth of gold rebuilds a telescope pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, is that what they got going on down here?
I guess the only bright side about killing this guy is we killed the guy with the smarts to get at the gold. I mean, they're going to run out of know-how here in no time.
Their workforce will probably not be able to work. You seem to have a special touch for it.
Okay, so we take away that. I mean, it ain't going to be too hard to find people that are willing to work for gold, even if I'm sure that they'll find some workforce, but as far as a short-term shutdown, I think we've done pretty well.
Still want that professor. It's going to be the type of thing that keeps a man awake at night.
Not saying that this has to be the complete end of it.
Yeah, but, I just don't know what the very next move is, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And if we feel that they're here, then we can try our luck, but we've got the lady in town that built those radios. I mean, she might have an idea of where old Alexander's at.
That's right. We have one of those, don't we?
Mm-hmm. As we could try and lure him out, as maybe set up with these rifles here.
What is it, 100 foot up that cliff?
Yeah, so from where you guys got to the top, you had a unobstructed view of the whole town.
Range on the guns 100 yards.
Maybe just tell him what happened to Mr. Massey.
It's not a bad idea, Robbie.
He got killed.
All right. Maybe we try to lure him out. See if someone will pick up on the other end at least. If not, if no one does it, we'll take Mrs. Ellis and her kid, get to an area out of town, find you guys a ride and split up. Hopefully avoid whatever police actions might be against us for a while. Let's see. Is there an area that could come to mind for me where we might be able to either meet up again or do a drop type situation?
For you guys?
Yeah. If we have to split up, if ever we want to get the gang together again.
We've got that church out.
I'm talking about further. This is after this game is over type of stuff.
And you guys are always welcome into Boston.
Yeah, because part of
anytime
the Wipers Pals thing was using people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, your question is, do you have a way of setting up those contacts? Like, go to the address at this place, you know, or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, you're from, or you have been living in Boston.
It's not a bad idea. I think...
So you could pick a place there, and you know that Tony's from there.
What about, I could tell them to send telegrams to some, like a post office or whatever the hell it is in that era, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, like a name. Frank Murdoch, Boston Telegram Office. Send any communications that way. It'll get to me eventually if we have to split up. For now, let's head back to the car and get that radio. Try one last thing.
We're going to try and lure him up here. Let's take a look for a spot to set up.
I think we just need to lure him into that field down there so one of us can sit up there with that rifle.
All right. I know that he has no love for me, so I can be out in the field.
All right. I'll take the rifle.
Okay, it's a better way to bring him out. So,
looking to turn yourself in?
Well, basically, I'm gonna play it as I've shut down your whole operation, right? As I knew you were dirty from the start, and your deputies too, right? As I've got your sheriff or your chief, yeah, I've taken out all of your pals over at Jensen's farm, right? The ones that you sent to the diner, even as we shut down your experiment up at the professor's place, and that was the reverend, right?
As a professor,
Or the professors, yeah. As because the reverend was there too, though.
Yeah, he was taking people to add to the flock.
So we've got I've shut down your whole stinking operation. See if that's enough to get him out here. I mean, even if he's not.
Tony,
even if he's not a legitimate lawman,
he's like, no, just I'm running it by you. Tell me if it sounds good.
You're doing good. I agree. All right, Robbie, what about you?
Well, with you up here with the rifle, I think that's about all we need up here. So maybe I'll go down and back Mr. Spates up.
All right. I'll hand him my .45.
All right. Yeah, I'll take it.
I'll also hand him that .38.
Worst comes to worse. It's a boat anchor. You can hit someone with it, Robbie. Right.
What is my handgun?
All right, so I'll get near the edge of that cliff and start getting in position, like hunkering down and maybe finding range. It's going to be tricky at night, moonless the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't getting shot at immediately, that flashlight could probably help me find the range.
And we'll have a little bit of time if you, because we had a couple torches, a couple electric torches, so I can flit on or flick mine on down there. As you just signal me when you're good to go, and I'll make the call.
No, just go for it. I'll be good.
Okay. As I'll make sure to turn it on once I'm before I actually do it, so that you can get sighted in.
All right.
All right, so Rob and Tony are going to go back down to ground level, and then Tony's going to go to the car and use that radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where are you going to set up, Rob?
Wherever Mr. Spates is planning on being after he makes his radio.
Being muscle.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's going to be in the...
I think they said the clear, like there's the recreation ground.
Yeah, the
clearest the area there. That he'd be able to see in.
One blink of the flashlight if we're good to go. Two if no one responded, and we should probably just go on.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So, Tony, you got the radio. What do you do?
Well, as just like I was laying out Oscar and Rob, is that's kind of the plan is call through for Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And let him know that this is Tony Spates. Come back through if you're there.
All right, so a few moments pass by almost to the point where you think you're going to have to repeat your message, and then a voice cuts through, a familiar voice. Spates, this is Alexander.
Alexander, it's time that you and me settle up. I had feeling about you from the beginning and uncovered your operation here. It's time for you to come clean. I can give you a place. And if you're any kind of a man, you'll come out here and you'll do the right thing.
Voice comes back. Spates, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about your brainwashing operation here. all the deaths, right? Miss Petunia is what I'm trying to remember.
Feeding them out at the pigs in that farm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. All the dead bodies. Out at the Jensen's farm, right? Whatever you did to your chief, a lot of other people in town. Yeah, the whole thing is over. I've shut it all down. So, last piece is you.
Spates, 3:30 in the morning. Have you been drinking? Are you okay? Do you need some help?
You could say that. I could use some help. Why don't you come on out and give me a hand?
Yeah, I'll do that, Spates. I'll be out. Where are you?
I'll give him the location as near as I can, because we were just in the field across from...
Well, we're right by the boarding house, right? If we're in the recreation ground.
Yeah, yeah. That's so what I'm saying, across from Petunia's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was same old place.
You know where to find us.
Just come on over to Miss Petunia's.
Spates, you're saying a lot of concerning things that make me worry for you. What's this about the chief? Have you seen the chief? I've been looking for him.
As I'm sure you have. Chief is safe.
Well, where is he?
Well, why don't you come on over and we'll talk about it.
What have you done to him?
It's a better question for yourself. What have you done to him?
It's a capital crime to harm a police officer, Mr. Spates. You should know that.
Well, then you better come and get me.
Pennsylvania has the electric chair, or will soon. All right, you don't get any more responses.
Yeah, I was just going to cut off after that last one.
Okay. All right, and then where?
And then I'll flash my light once.
Okay, and so you're all set up to wait. All right, so Oscar, you've taken up a position up on the top of that cliff there with this rifle, and so you've got a pretty good view of most of the town. I mean, there people have here and there porch lights or a light coming through the curtains or whatever, so enough to illuminate the general vague shape of the homes and the buildings down there. And there's some street lights on the big road that leads out of town. And from where you are, you can also see over to the train yard, not the train station where passengers are, but the train yards further to the west side of town. And even the lights of the cannery you can pick out. So you've got a good view of things. And so you're sitting there to wait, and you guys are all waiting for Alexander to show up. And it shouldn't take very long because it's a small town. But an hour goes by and there's still no sign of him. And then Rob and Tony don't see this, but Oscar, from your vantage point over on the eastern side of town.
How big's the army of cops?
No, you see a house burst, not burst. You can see a house start burning over on the eastern side of town. You can't see anything that might have caused it. You can just see the flames reaching towards the sky. A couple of minutes later, another house to the northeastern side of town starts burning. And then Rob and Tony, where you're at in the recreation ground, you hear a sound coming from the south of you and off in that direction, which is actually... like you're looking directly toward the cannery, and you see a house just start burning over there and no indication of why. But then all of you hear some random gunshots. It's impossible to say where they came from because of the way they echo, but they're definitely from different directions, not like towards you, just gunshots in the night.
Well, that has me worried now because I'm thinking about how that one guy was suddenly snatching back properties and, you know, making all these vacancies. Like maybe they had these things rigged up and then we got Mrs. Ellis and her daughter stashed in one.
Oh, yeah. Any of these, I was wondering if any of these flames are coming from the direction of the squat house, the hideout.
One by the cannery would be, right?
Well, it's in the direction of the cannery.
But not quite all the way.
But it's much closer to you than that one.
All right.
But we'll have to end it there. But you do finally see something, all three of you. Movement catches your eye right to the very corner of the street that the Brizendine boarding house and Miss Ellis' house is on. Right on that corner where you would then turn towards Randolph Street, a woman in her nightgown comes running down the sidewalk screaming. And she trips and falls in the road. And then a man who was chasing her starts hacking at her head with what looks to be a hatchet. But that's what you see. And then we'll have to pick it up there next time.
All right.
What have we done?
We've really turned into, this is going to be like Needful Things, the end of Needful Things. The whole town battling each other.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
pretty cool though, man. Thanks.
This has been a Death Watch production. Thank you for listening.